Welcome to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries, Dunedin, Florida, and around the globe. Join us today as we talk about real life, real truth, real purpose, and how to be living the good life. Begin our talk, here is Pastor Marcia McAllister.
Hi everybody, welcome. We're back here. It's great to be live in the studio today in Clearwater, Florida. This is a beautiful day here. If you don't live here in the sunshine, I'm sorry for you. because we do, and it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. These guys have been silly, listening audience, and so having to, you know, just kind of come out of that silliness, I don't think we can. So we're going to have a great time together. We're going to talk about a serious subject, but we're going to probably do it in a light way because the guests that I have on today from our radio team are both themselves just a little funny.
Watch it.
And Cricket. We're glad you guys are here. Today's topic is interesting. It is integrity. Integrity. In the month of November at Beacon of Hope Ministries, I am teaching out of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And those are great little tiny books there in the back of your New Testament. And so if you are joining us today and you say, I want to know where I should be reading, why don't you read 1 and 2 Peter? Because it'll help you identify with some of the things that we're talking about right now. It's a great time to get in your Bible every single day, right? And we emphasize this a lot at Beacon of Hope Ministries. Mm-hmm. And as we start this topic of integrity, I believe that a lot of the information concerning this topic that we're even going to talk about today is based on the Word of God, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes. There's so many places where the Word of God encourages us to get more wisdom,
yes,
and to act like Jesus. And that's what all of this encompasses.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we're glad you've joined us today. Madeline, when you think of integrity, is there a couple words that come to your mind or some?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, talk to me.
At least a couple. I think a strong, I was thinking right before we started talking, I was thinking of a strong moral character, whatever that might be. Be because some people's morals and values might be different, but someone who adheres to whatever it is, whatever moral code that they follow,
right,
and feel strongly about following their code of ethics and the things that they value,
right,
and it's something that, you know, it's something that they've kind of cultivated over their lifetime, and
right,
and they move forward in that.
Exactly.
So that they have a character of integrity.
Exactly. Was there ever a time in your life where you felt like you didn't have a whole lot of integrity? And I mean, you don't have to answer that if you don't want to. But if you don't, we're going to have dead airspace.
So. It's going to take
no,
the fifth.
Well, I guess no, we better talk about it then.
No.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I think all of us can relate to when we were younger, the things we haven't learned,
sure,
and
yeah,
experienced. You know, I have gotten to a point now that I'm 36 where I've learned and been taught through lessons of life that if you always succumb to a lot of little white lies and
right,
and you don't bring the change back if you got the wrong change and, you know, things like that, they weigh on you.
Right.
They cause you to take bigger steps later. They can encourage you to make, you know, broader steps away from what you would normally think would be your integrity level.
Right.
You can walk away from that by allowing those things to creep in and making those small choices. We think they're small at first, but they can get bigger as time goes on.
They certainly can.
Absolutely. I mean, anybody that has a job knows covering your butt's a big part of your job.
Right.
And
right,
little white lies are always present, available at any time to get yourself out of this mess or whatnot. And I've definitely succumbed to that over the past. And
I think everybody has.
Absolutely. You know? And I have learned to try to keep my guard up on that, though.
Right.
Because it usually happens in a second. opportunity. It's like something presents itself right now and you have to say something right now. What are you going to do? Are you going to tell the truth and perhaps get in trouble?
That's a good point.
Or are you going to step out in faith? Or it's so hard to do that because it's right now you have to decide. You don't have any time. Three people are looking at you for an answer right now. What are you going to do? And you feel the lie at the tip of your mouth ready to fly out because you know that would sound better than the truth. Like, right. I didn't do it yet, or I haven't started that report, or I forgot. Yes, we talked about that 2 weeks ago, but I forgot to put that presentation together.
Right.
So what are you going to do? Oh, well, I do have that, but I saved it at home, and I bring it in tomorrow morning. That's right. A big fat lie. You haven't touched
right.
it yet.
Right.
You know, what are you going to say?
Exactly.
And I've learned it's better, you know, to tell the truth with sincerity. And when you need to apologize, go ahead and just apologize. And I've realized, because you run the scenario, don't you, in that very moment, don't you run the scenario in your mind? They say, where's this? And you know, oh, I haven't done that yet. And you run the whole scenario. You see yourself telling the truth. Oh, I haven't done that. I'm sorry. And they go crazy.
Right.
Oh, you see this whole scene unfolding in your mind. But then you say the truth. You try
right.
it. And you say, yes, I apologize. I have gotten so wrapped up in other things. I have forgotten about that. I will work on that immediately.
Right.
And their answer back is, okay, good. Let's see that. Let's talk about that in about two or three more days.
Well, you're saying there's good outcome from telling the truth.
There sometimes can. Sometimes you have to take it on the chin, admittedly.
Right.
Sometimes you have to. But you know what? I think every single time that you might have that scenario and you take it on the chin,
right.
it's still going to be better than when you stuck your foot in your mouth and did the little white lie that gets you way down the river.
There you go.
That current takes you so fast, doesn't it?
We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the elements of integrity and what that really means, because it's more than just honesty. I believe that there's more ramifications there.
Mm-hmm.
Madeline, growing up, you grew up in New York.
I did.
Yes, New York City.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had to have lied sometimes.
Unfortunately, yeah. I think compared to some other places I've experienced since I've moved around.
Right.
And saw how other people grew up. I grew up kind of on the street. I mean,
yeah.
comparatively, living in a city and not living in apartment buildings, people didn't have houses where you
right.
could feel comfortable and hang out. We literally, groups of us would hang out on street corners and, you know, a lot of times have to maybe not tell our parents the truth about what we're doing or where we're going. And it was easy to lie consistently and frequently just because you knew if you told the truth, there was going to be a backlash, or there was going to be answers you didn't want to hear. So I kind of grew up, I think, really, you know, telling little white lies frequently.
Yeah. Oh, as kids, you know, it's so easy.
Yeah.
And you get so good at it. That's the
right.
bad thing. I tell you what, I was really good at lying to my parents when I was like junior high and, you know, teenager.
Yeah.
And because it kept me going where I wanted to go. I wanted
right.
my freedom. I wanted my, you know, my way.
Oh, that's a good point.
And I wanted to do it all my way. And I think teenagers are really good at lying.
Yeah.
And I
think
went to church then too growing up. But
yeah.
I went
Me
to
too.
Catholic church and I didn't really feel like I was, you know, following God's word then, because we
mm-hmm.
weren't really taught the word in
right.
church. We just
exactly.
kind of listened to a priest
yeah.
preach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. These are interesting things. We're going to get into some detailed conversation about this in just a little while. We're glad you've tuned in today. If you're in our Tampa Bay area, you can come and join us at Beacon of Hope. We'd love to have you visit us at some time soon. We've been seeing some new faces, and that is wonderful. And Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, what do we do, Cricket?
Well, we get together for Compass.
Yeah.
You always make fun of me because I like to say compass, but it's compass, so
okay.
I hear. And that's just an incredible time for like a core meeting. We come and we talk a little bit deeper about spiritual things.
Right.
And it's a big participation kind of night, everybody around the tables, and we all share. And it's a great time to grow and share some views that you have on a scripture or a lesson that we're thinking about,
exactly.
story we're talking about. And, you know, it's just a back and forth with you, Pastor, and all of us, and we have a great time.
And that's part of learning how to walk in integrity,
mm-hmm.
you know, is learning what the word says about this. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment. We're glad you've tuned in today. And let's hear a song. This is a great one. It's called Every Day. And don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
All right, everybody shout, Every Day.
Every Day.
It's you I live for.
It's you I live for.
One more time. Every Day.
Every Day.
It's you I live for.
Say, but it's you gave me life and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now. But you've saved me, Lord. I give all that I am to you. Every day I will be alive that shines your name.
It's you I live for every day. Every day I walk with you, my Lord. You know, we wanted to play that song because it goes right along with this discussion of integrity, because integrity develops on a day-to-day basis. I don't think you just wake up one morning and you're full of it. Full of integrity, I mean. Yeah, I don't think you're full of integrity. Yeah. I think that what happens is it gradually develops. These guys are really difficult for me today, let me tell you. But it's something that happens on a gradual basis, and you can find yourself lacking a lot of integrity, and you can gradually find yourself redeveloping it. And we're going to talk about both of those things. Go with me to 2 Peter today. You are tuning in to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister here in the studio with Madeline and Cricket, the crazy ones who are giving me a hard time. And God will forgive them. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, Everything, talking about every day, everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. One of the big parts of integrity, I believe, has to do with getting to know God. That doesn't mean that there aren't a lot of people with integrity out there who don't know God. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you're really wanting to develop a life of integrity, getting to know God is a foundation that is incredible that will help you develop your life of integrity. Peter says here in verse 5, so don't lose a minute. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith. Now, I find this interesting. I think it takes work. I'm going to propose this to you, Madeline and Cricket. I think it takes work. I think it takes being on your toes, so to speak, to develop a life of integrity. I don't think it just happens. I don't think that you just, like I said a minute ago, wake up one morning and now you have it. You've got integrity. I don't think that's it. I think it starts with 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. It starts with a basic faith, okay? And it starts in a basic faith in God. And it doesn't have to. You can be full of integrity without knowing God at all. But if you're sitting out there today and you want to change some things in your character, let's start with your basic faith. And that is believing God, believing that God has a plan for you, and also that he's working in your life to change you into the person he wants you to be. Peter says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, that your basic faith starts it all out. And then you develop into some good character. God begins to develop good character in you. Let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 2. Maybe in your Bible, if you have it, if you need to go get it, then go ahead and listen in and or get a piece of paper and write some things down. 2 Peter chapter 2 says this: there are some lying prophets around among people. There will be lying religious leaders and teachers among you. Say, wait a minute, how can there be lying prophets and religious teachers? Because there are. There are people out there who propose to be something that they really are not. Perhaps they have all the religious jargon. They can say it all. They can quote you verses, but their character is not godly. It's not one of integrity. And we want to talk about that. They'll snuggle in, it says here, smuggle. You guys are crazy.
She's so cute.
They'll smuggle in destructive divisions. One of the things that I think a lack of integrity does, and maybe you can throw this on a piece of paper and we can talk about it in a minute, guys, is it divides people. A lack of integrity divides people because a lot of times one person is given one side of the story, somebody else is given something else, and you can cause all kinds of problems here. We're going to talk about that. Pitting one against the other, biting the hand of the one who gave them a chance to have their lives back. And this is really talking about people who actually, it says in verse 2, give the way of truth a bad name. They're out for themselves. And if you're taking notes, write that down. About myself. And because that is key here with the concept of integrity, in my opinion. Because when we are out for ourselves, we say and do a lot of things that we shouldn't say and do. Because we're just trying, for numero uno here. Have you seen that new commercial with the father who gives the cell phone to his daughter? Because you're my number one, And then he goes to his wife and here's a new cell phone for you because you're my number one. And then he goes to his little son and he goes, here's your cell phone because you're number one. You're my number one. And they all think, wow, they got a new cell phone because I'm dad's number one. And then he walks out of the house with the best cell phone in his hand and says, ha, I'm numero uno.
Ooh.
So I find that interesting. And I propose to you today, a lot of times, lack of integrity has to do with people who feel that they are number one. And so because of that, things happen, choices are made, and always the choice revolves back around making sure that I'm the one that is taken care of. I'm the one that my decisions get to fly. I'm the one in the driver's seat. I find this an interesting thing here as we talk about integrity today. Let's go over to Proverbs because there are some great things in the book of Proverbs that help us understand this concept of integrity. Some really good stuff here. If you have your Bible, go with me just a moment, and let's go to Proverbs chapter 12. Let's start there, and let's start about verse 15. And it says that fools, now I think a fool would probably be best described as somebody who doesn't have the integrity. A fool is somebody who is probably out for themselves, okay? I'm in Proverbs 12, verse 15. Fools are headstrong and do what they like. Interesting, okay? I think this ties in with our subject today. Fools are people who are, they got to have their way, you know? They got to do what they want to do. And a lot of times, there's integrity lacking in a person like this who is out for themselves, numero uno, who is got to make sure that their way is done, their way or the highway. Wise people take advice. Interesting. In this concept of integrity. I think a person that's full of integrity a lot of times can listen to criticism. I really do. I don't think that they get all bent out of shape about what if somebody disagrees with them. I think that the integrity within them says, let me listen here. Let me look at this carefully. I'm in Proverbs chapter 12 and I'm now in verse 16. Fools have short fuses. Some of you are going, what does this have to do with integrity? I think this has everything to do with integrity. Let's describe a person who doesn't walk in a lot of integrity. And a lot of times, number one, they are headstrong. They do just what they want to do. They don't take advice. And fools, a lot of times, have short fuses and explode all too quickly. Why do they explode all too quickly? Because a lot of times, it's all about them. You know, it's all about them. The prudent quietly shrug off insults. Verse 17 of Proverbs 12. Truthful witness by a good person clears the air. And we're going to talk about that in a moment when I bring Madeline and Cricket back in here. When it comes to integrity, I think truthful witness has a lot to do with this subject today. Liars lay down a smoke screen of deceit. Proverbs 12, 17. I'm going to read that verse again because this is critical. Truthful witness by a good person clears the air. Why does the air need to be cleared? Because there's a lot of times when somebody will look right at you. And if you haven't lived long enough on this earth to have this happen to you, it will, believe me. Because I've been in situations with people, whether it's work-related or whatever, people where they look right at you and lie, bold face, and they do it so convincingly that you walk away going, what's wrong with me? Wait a minute. I thought that was this other way. No, I must be wrong because they're so good at lying. And it says here in Proverbs, truthful witness by a good person clears the air. It just clears things up. Okay? That's integrity. Okay? But liars lay down a smoke screen of deceit. Smoke screen of deceit. Those four words. I want to talk about it with Cricket and Madeline in a moment. A smoke screen of deceit. What is that? How do you know when you're in the middle of it, or how do you know when it's happening to you? A smoke screen of deceit. The very word smoke screen make it look like sometimes we're not going to see it very clearly. Okay, we're not going to see it. Look at verse 18. Rash language cuts and maims, but there is healing in the words of the wise. I propose to you today that a person of integrity, when he speaks or she speaks, there is healing in his or her words. They're not out to cut you down. I think this is critical too. I'm going to ask you guys to write this down because I am proposing several things here that I want to talk about. I think in my years of experience, and of course I'm not as old as Cricket, so I don't have some of that. Okay, that was a... All right. Anyway, I do have some years of experience on this planet, and I do believe that a lot of times our words can bring healing in a situation to a person, or our words can cut and maim. It's been my experience that people of little integrity could care less. It doesn't bother them if they cut you down with this and that. It's no big deal. You know, we're going to talk about the definition of integrity, too, in just a moment. But listen to this verse again from Proverbs 12, and it is verse 18. Rash language. What is that? Rash language. You know, that's quick. That's cutting. That is something that somebody says, and they get their point in, and bam, you know, you're left there going, whoa, what was that? I've been the victim of that many times, where somebody gets their point in and you just walk away feeling like a little bruised and a little wounded and like, whoa, they said what they wanted to say. There is healing in the words of the wise. Verse 19 of Proverbs 12, truth lasts. Lies are here today and gone tomorrow. Here today and gone tomorrow. Wow, there's a lot for us to think about right here. We'll be right back. Stay with us on Living the Good Life.
Broadcasting live from Dave and Lola's Radio World, AM 1340, WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg, and AM 1350, WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel. Listen.
Beacon of Hope is a place designed with you in mind. That means we don't expect you to look or act a certain way. We want you to feel comfortable and infected each week through great music, authentic community, and relevant teaching. Sunday morning dress is casual and the coffee is always hot. Beacon of Hope welcomes all people, all origins, backgrounds, lifestyles, and circumstances. You'll meet people just like you. Beacon of Hope is located at 1812 Main Street, Dunedin, Florida. Check us out on the web at www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Come and experience with us at Compass Wednesday evenings at 7 and every Sunday morning, now beginning at 11. Find the true direction and meaning you've been looking for in your life.
Praise God. We're glad you've tuned in today to Living the Good Life, brought to you every Sunday at 4:30. We are live in the studio in Clearwater, Florida, bringing to you words of life and living the good life. That's what we're talking about. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Here with me in the studio are Cricket and Madeline, and they are giving me a very hard time behind the scenes, listening audience. I just want you to know that they are making fun of me, but I can't even imagine. You don't think you are? Yes, you are. It's okay. I forgive you.
That's the violin.
See, a person of integrity would say, I forgive you. Right. I forgive you.
Failed.
All right.
Goodness.
No, we're just having a good time. And this is a tough topic. This is a serious topic. This is one that affects us on a daily basis. And when you interact with people, whether it's somebody you're in a relationship with or you're married to, whether it is somebody that you just work with, maybe it is a friend, and you find that somebody is lacking integrity. What are some of the clues? Let's start there, guys. What are some of the clues of a person? Maybe somebody's listening today, they go, man, I've been having so much trouble in my relationship and I don't understand what's wrong. What are some of the symptoms, if you will, clues of a person that's walking in very little integrity? Maybe it's a listener in the listening audience that's saying, maybe that's me, you know? What should we be looking for?
I think that I look back on my own experience and things that I've gone through to kind of get a feel for this. And I know that there was a time where I don't think I was in tune with myself. Okay. I think when I look back on that time now, and I don't know if I could have been aware then, I'm not sure, but I wasn't, like you said before, you mentioned a lot of things that hit home. I wasn't necessarily caring about what the other person thought.
Okay.
It was more important for me to speak my mind the way I needed to.
Oh, okay.
Than to how should I say this so that it doesn't maybe hurt as much. It was more important for me to just, you know, spew it out.
Okay.
And also, I had a hard time facing myself. You know, I remember in those days, I really had a hard time looking in the mirror.
Okay.
And I could only, again, see that looking back, you know, because there were things that I wasn't dealing with. I wasn't working through, you know, parts of my personality that needed to be, you know, refined
right.
and looked at and, you know, junk
hard to do, though,
thrown
isn't
away.
It?
Oh, very hard to do. And it only happened, I think, to me, you know, by accident, meaning I didn't one day sit down and say, hey, I've got to take a hard look at myself. I just kind of got thrown into a situation that forced me to do it. And it was like the best thing. It was the start. You know, like you said before, things like integrity don't happen overnight. I woke up and, you know, I didn't say, hey, I'm full of integrity now because I looked at these things and I refined them. It was the start of a very long process of, you know, being able to say to yourself, I don't like this about myself.
Amen.
This is ugly. This needs to be, because we don't want to, I think, as those selfish kind of beings when you're just living for yourself and you're not thinking anything else. We don't want to think there's stuff wrong with us. We don't want to think we're selfish and, you know, all of these negative things. We don't want to believe that. So I remember putting that off on people. They'd say, well, that really bothered me. And I'd be like, well, you must just be too sensitive.
Oh, you know, that's, I mean, I don't know if those were exact
words, but I remember being, you know, in that state, that harsh state.
Putting it on the other person.
Putting it on you. You're the crazy one.
Right.
I'm not doing anything wrong because I wasn't looking at myself at that time. And that's even hard now to just say out loud and look at, because it's like, ooh, that was ugly. But I'm so grateful that I'm aware, and I'm not, you know, I haven't reached the finish line because that'll never happen while I'm here on earth anyway. But, you know, another thing you were saying was getting to know God, getting close to God.
Amen.
Helps you to stay in that mindset.
Yes.
Because when we're out there in the world, not in church on Sunday, not in church on Wednesday, not here Sunday nights, you're back in it. You're back in life.
Right.
Where you're not focused on God like we are on Sundays, where you could really be concentrated and really just be, okay, Lord, you know, just deal with me.
Right.
So it's definitely, I think, a slow, long process. And sometimes I'm going to be more full of integrity and sometimes I'm not.
Right.
And hopefully I'm going to notice when I'm not and then grab hold of myself and, okay,
but you're
start
saying it takes
process.
Work. You're saying it takes awareness. You're saying you have to be on your toes.
You do.
Go ahead.
You know, just like the song that we played, Every Day I Live For You, Lord.
Yes.
I'll follow after you. I'll walk with you.
Yes.
And I think Madeline just illustrated that beautifully, because it really does. I think the thing that, you know, we're born into sin because we're born self-centered.
Right.
That's really where it stems from. We are very selfish. And when you're in that mindset, you don't want to acknowledge it very much. But, you know, life lessons start showing you, hopefully, you know, when you receive Jesus into your heart, there's a transformation that begins.
That's the beginning.
Yeah. And the Holy Spirit starts to transform you, make you aware of certain things. And they don't sit well like they used to.
Right.
You know, things that you do. And, you know, I still have things to work on, of course. But the self-centered thing is where it always starts with me, too. And I know that my moral compass is off, or my integrity level is off. It's because of self-centeredness. And, you know, you started out talking also about some people can have great integrity. There's kind of two types of integrity, though, that we deal with. We've got worldly integrity, which is kind of like your humanitarian kind of integrity. And that's very earthy, though. That's very worldly focused. But then you got the spiritual integrity, which is a deeper step. And that's truly following after God.
Amen.
The God.
Yes.
The true living God that we serve.
That's a good way to separate it. So we're talking just human integrity about concepts like honesty and truthfulness.
And godly integrity.
And then there's godly integrity. Mm-hmm. I think that honesty and really being who you say you are and trying your best to tell the truth are basic to the concept of integrity.
Absolutely.
Don't you guys?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And truth is, I think, very foundational. Because it really kind of, everything springboards off of truth.
Right.
Rather, it's an integrity about money, or it's an integrity about, anything that the world can trap you up in. It all comes from your truth-telling ability, your truth-telling to yourself and truth-telling to what you say to others.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought it's about another characteristic I thought is consistency.
True.
Because
people
who are not full of integrity tend to just be how they are in certain situations. So if they're in church, they put on a front that they feel is acceptable in church.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then if, you know, they're in another situation, they may be acting another way. And I think that consistency of behavior, so that they're always kind of following through with things, and, you know, when they start to show different, you know, I guess different sides. They talk to you and you hear one thing, and then they come over to me and, you know, they're saying something else, or, you know, you're seeing that kind of two-faced side that we called.
Oh, I think that's huge when it comes to the concept of integrity, Madeline. That is so right on. Mm-hmm. It's not just honesty. It is consistency, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to tell somebody one thing and then the next minute you hear it told totally completely different and you realize, wait a minute, what's wrong here? You know,
that, and also another thing is we always come back to this, it seems, at least when I'm on Sundays, is choice.
Choice.
Because once you are aware that you have to work at this, this is not something you just, you know, you pray for and then God gives you.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you have to work for every day. So you have to choose to be full of integrity. So
Amen.
If I decide, Cricket was talking, you know, about situations we're in every day when we're at work. How much easier would it be if I just gave you this answer than the truth?
Right.
Or told you I did something that maybe I didn't already because I don't want to deal with whatever. It's so easy. Mm-hmm. But if we want to, you know, stay, you know, full of integrity and be consistent, then I have to choose to live my life, you know, being truthful and all of this so that I can keep on that road. Because it's very easy to get off the road. There's all these paths, right? All the time.
All the time.
You can go here, there, there. Choices. And it's not right. easy.
And we can compartmentalize our life all we want. But
explain
we have
that.
To realize, compartmentalize, like I can be my work person, put that work thing, put my okay. work hat in that box, that compartment that I've made for my life, I'm this kind of person. Mm-hmm. And it has barriers and walls, and when I'm in that box, I act this way. And then I have my home life compartmentalized box, mm-hmm. and I act that way in my church life, in my social life. But you're lying to yourself if you don't think these things don't spill over into the other compartments.
How do they spill over?
Well, like at work, just like the example Madeline was just given, how I was talking earlier about if you tell some little white lies at work when you had a deadline and you forgot about a project and they come and ask you, and what are you going to do in that moment when they right. ask you, hey, where's that project? And are you going to say, oh, well, I have it home and it's saved in my computer and I'll bring it in tomorrow. And you know, you're going to stay up all night long and do this because you did not, you know, that big lie.
Right.
Little white lie. Or are you going to say, I apologize. I have gotten wrapped up in other things and I forgot to do it.
But
can I push the deadline back?
But what about consequences?
Well,
they're telling the truth.
That's right in your face there. That's
right.
Why we have the sweats hitting us right then. We're wondering what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And you know, I've realized it can really fall, truly, it can fall either way.
Right.
You can tell, because you do the whole scenario in your mind, don't you? Okay, if I tell the truth, oh my gosh. And then you see the boss's face get red and steam coming out like Fred Flintstone and right. everything's hitting the fan. And you picture all of that before a word comes out of your mouth. And sometimes you say the truth and that very well could happen. Or you say the truth, and I've experienced several times, too, on the flip side, that they say, sure, no problem. Let's get back together in about 2 or 3 days. And you're like, whew, that was good. I'm glad I told the truth. Because, you know, who knows what would have happened if I would have lied. It probably
right.
would have made it so much worse. But it really can go either way. But the fact of the matter is, lying will always make it worse.
Right.
And when I was talking about compartmentalizing, if I tell those little lies at work, and I justified in my mind, well, this is part of how you do business. This is just part of how business works, or this is how this industry works. Don't think it doesn't spill over, because you train yourself. You train yourself. If I'm getting out of things by fibbing at work,
right?
Your spouse, your kids will ask you something at home. It was easy to get out of that at work. Don't think that you're not going to fib then at home.
You're saying
don't
that
think it won't spill over into other compartments. It will. You train yourself how to learn and how to think. We are learning animals all the time. Environment, experience, circumstances constantly train us. We take in that information, the things we experience, and we learn what happens. And the people out there that manipulate all the time,
right.
tell a lot of lies, they have trained themselves that I can try to mold life into what I want by
exactly.
saying whatever, and
control.
I can morph every circumstance and change it around.
And it's a challenge. In fact, they enjoy it, actually.
Until all the every compartment of their life is on fire, which eventually will happen. Everything blows up at once.
Wait a minute. You're saying, Cricket, that there are definite consequences
absolutely.
To a life that lacks integrity.
Absolutely.
There are consequences to that.
And we've all experienced that, from the little white lies to bigger things. And, you know, there are some people out there that are really good at it.
That's right.
And they deceive me every single time because they're so good at it. I think it's a profession for them.
Right.
But at some point, if it hasn't happened yet, it will happen eventually.
It will catch up.
It will catch up and everything will explode. There's no doubt about it. That's just the way that it will work.
So what are the benefits of living a life of integrity versus just doing your own thing and, hey, if it doesn't turn out the way it should, or if I get caught in this lie, it's no big deal. I know how to talk my way out of it.
Right.
Because a lot of people are proud of that ability.
You're right. But how much peace of mind do they have? Right there is my biggest.
Do you think that
affects
them at all?
It definitely does. They might shove it down deep inside.
Okay.
They might push it down, but sometimes it bubbles up just like, you know, acid reflux. And they might take a pill to shove it back down.
Right.
But it does. Peace of mind. You don't have peace of mind living that way. At any moment, some of your lies behind that dam that you've created could break loose, and you know it. And you think about it all the time. There's
so what
no
do you
doubt.
Do? This is what happens to people that lack integrity. What do they do, Madeline? They run around doing what?
I think it's hard to say. I don't know if I agree that they all that everything is going to explode on them. I mean, I don't know. I guess you know it depends how
it's okay
how
to
else
disagree.
They're living their life. Like, are they going? You know, if I was at this point in my life living like that and you know knowing God the way I know now, I couldn't do it. I you know mm-hmm. there's things that I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. But I don't know that there are. I think I've seen some people out there who just, you know, not in a place yet. They haven't examined themselves. They haven't realized there's a better way to live. You know, that there's a way to live where they're going to reap the rewards of the good they do versus the not so good, the telling lies. I don't think they're going to have as full and rich and true a life.
Oh, I agree.
As someone who decides and chooses to tell the truth, be consistent, you know, and live, you know, not just for yourself, but, you know, looking at the world around you and taking into consideration other people.
I totally agree with that. I think there's a lot of people who love the life of lack of integrity because it brings them other things. It gives them maybe the joy of trying to figure out how they're going to lie their way out of this. And it's kind of fun and it's challenging. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. I believe that it begins, a life of integrity really, really has a lot to do with your relationship with God. And because we all have a conscience, and a lot of times we allow our conscience to be totally smothered by our own self-centeredness. So we'll come back in a few minutes and talk about that. But first, I want you to hear this song, Holy Yours. We're talking about every bit of you being God's.
I am full of earth. You are heaven's worth. I am stained with dirt, prone to depravity. And you are everything. Of me, you are divine.
Okay, it just ended too quick. Oh, my gosh. All right. We're sorry about that, guys. I don't know what happened to the CD, but that's all right. You're listening to Living the Good Life here from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, Florida. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister, and, you know, we're talking about integrity today, and we are talking about this subject for a reason. It is because I believe that there are so many of us who daily have to deal with people who aren't full of integrity, and it can be very frustrating. And to each of us, God is wanting us to absolutely work on our character. He's wanting us to become more like Jesus, and he's wanting us to change so that people look at us and say, hey, when they tell me something, it is what it is, you know? Back in our grandparents' day, they gave their word. Their word was their bond. You know, they didn't write contracts. A lot of time, yeah, I'll sell you three goats, and you could go next door or next week, and you go over there, and yeah, he's going to sell you three goats for the $15 or whatever it was. And it wasn't like, no, I didn't tell you that. I didn't tell you that. You know, their word was their bond. In last week, we talked about grace. John chapter 1, verse 14 said that Jesus came to this earth and he was full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. And last week, we talked about grace. And as I was leaving the radio station last week, I was thinking about this. Grace is such a huge part of the ministry of Jesus and his character, but so is truth. And truth is really integrity. It's being who you say you are. It's acting like you are who you are, and not trying to have all these pretenses and not trying to be out for yourself. Go with me to Psalm 15, because this is a beautiful psalm written by David. It's a picture of when somebody is walking in integrity, and I'm going to read it to you out of the New American Standard here and probably go back to the Message Bible too. But Psalm 15 says this, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Can you guys write that little phrase down? We're going to talk about that. Speaks truth in his heart. Not in God's heart, in that person's heart, speaks truth within himself. And he does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. Listen to this in the Message Bible. God, who gets invited to dinner at your place? Well, how do we get on your guest list, God? And here's the answer. Walk straight, act right, tell the truth. What's that phrase? A lot of us say, do the next right thing. What's that mean? We're going to talk about that. Don't hurt your friend. Don't blame your neighbor. Despise the despicable. Wait a minute now. Don't hurt your friend. I have been hurt by so many people who I thought were my friends, and there was such a lack of integrity. They were saying one thing to my face and another thing behind my back. It says, don't blame your neighbor. Keep your word even when it costs you. Make an honest living. Never take a bribe. You'll never get blacklisted if you live like this. This is integrity. My dad walked this earth with integrity. And some of you have been kind of following the situation with our family. And my dad went home to be with Jesus yesterday afternoon at 3 o'clock on November 3rd. And as hard as that was to just usher him into the presence of God, it was also so wonderful to know. And I said this to my dad yesterday as he was laying there in his last few moments. I said, Dad, God is going to say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. And why is that? Because my dad was an honest person. He was a man of integrity. And there were times that probably, maybe, I don't know, that he didn't say everything in his mind. I don't think we always have to say everything in our mind to be a person of integrity. But it's an attitude. It's an honesty that's deep within us. And as much as it hurts to know that my dad has left this earthly plane and that he's in heaven with Jesus, which is a wonderful thing. What is so wonderful is that my two sisters and I were taught this integrity from a young age. We have raised our 10 kids, my sisters and I, to believe that it's very important to be a person of integrity. And I really think that it starts with this love for God and wanting to be like Jesus, because Jesus was so full of grace and truth. And God, who gets invited to dinner at your place? How do we get on your guest list? And here's the answer. We walk straight, we act right, and we tell the truth. Act right. What's that mean? I think it has a lot to do with how compassionate we are, like Jesus, because he was full of grace and mercy. Jesus was not a legalistic person, guys. Jesus was not out there trying to berate people for their nature. He was not out there saying, you messed up here and you messed up there. And that's one thing about my earthly dad. He never did that. He was always encouraging. You know, he was always saying, hey, you can do better here, you know. Yeah, you got it in you. You can do this. You can do this, you know? And I believe that God is saying that to us today. No matter how hard it may be on the inside of you, you think, I don't think I can change all these things about myself. Man, I've been doing this all my life. I've been always telling whatever I wanted to say just so I could have the advantage. I've never understood the importance of integrity. Maybe that's one reason you're listening to this show today, because God is wanting a people that are who they say they are and not a bunch of hypocrites. Do you know a lot of people say they won't go to church because of the hypocrites? Well, there are hypocrites in church because we're all learning to become like Jesus. So it's not a bad thing, but it's a thing that we work on. We don't want to be hypocritical. We don't want to say one thing and do another. We don't want to be saying, oh, yeah, God loves us and all of that, and yet bam, 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 slamming people behind their back. No, no, no. That is not what God has called his people to be. He's calling a people who will absolutely not hurt each other. It says here, don't hurt your friend. Don't blame your neighbor. And this is huge. Keep your word even when it costs you. I think that is a big concept here when it comes to integrity. Keeping your word, doing what you say you're going to do. You say, well, what if I can't? What if I can't do that? And a lot of times people are so afraid to call somebody and say, I just can't do it. I just can't fulfill that commitment. Why not be that honest and call and say, you know what? I told you I would do that, but this has happened, or I can't, I just can't do it. I spoke too quickly. I can't do that, even though I want to do it. I can't do it. Whatever the case is, keeping your word, this is huge. And let's go back to 2 Peter again real quick before I bring these guys back in here. Back in 2 Peter, back in about chapter 3, it is talking about a person's character and what they need to be doing and what they need to be, how they need to be behaving. And I love this when it says, I'm in 1 Peter chapter 3, not 2 Peter, okay? In 1 Peter, it is talking about it's not about our outward appearance. This is about verse 1 or 2 in 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, it's not about the way you wear your hair, the jewelry you wear, the cut of your clothes, but it's about your inner disposition. What is going on the inside of you? If you're in a situation, you're in a relationship with somebody and you cannot trust their word ever, and you're constantly wondering if they're telling you the truth or if they're manipulating the circumstances or if they've just boldly outright lied to you, something is wrong there, okay? The inner disposition, there's something wrong, and how can you base a relationship on lies and deceit? It says here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, we are to cultivate inner beauty, the gentle and gracious kind that God delights in. This is what God tells us to do. We are to work on this, cultivate it. Cultivate inner beauty. Praise God. That's enough to get excited about. We're going to commercial and we will be right back. Don't go anywhere, because Madeline and Cricket have all kinds of things to tell you.
Do you wonder if the Bible has anything in it that truly matters to your life? Wednesday nights at Beacon of Hope's Compass Group, we experience that God's Word is in real time, answers that help us today. Beacon of Hope is a progressive and affirming church, a community committed to seeing God's plans unfold in our lives. We believe more than ever that it's important for people to come together to look at the relevant, positive, and empowering Word of God. If you want to find out more about your purpose, if you're looking for a positive place to hang out and learn about a brighter future, if you have a desire for experiencing truth and hope in your life. Come and join us at Compass every Wednesday night at 7. You can visit us on Sunday mornings now beginning at 11. Find out more at www.beaconofhopeministries.com. You are welcome in this place. We're gonna dance in the river.
We're gonna dance in the river. All right, we're glad. We're glad to talk to you today. We're on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we're really excited about what God's doing at church. I mean, it's exciting to be able to gather around the Word of God and gather around worship and praise and learn how to change our lives and become more like Jesus. And we mentioned it last week. My new book just came out last week, my second book. It's entitled Living Large and Loving It. And it is about living abundantly. It is about learning to change the way we look at things in our lives in every area, whether it is physically for the healing of our bodies. This is a general book that will help you learn to live in abundance in a lot of areas of your life. And that is what the Word of God does, doesn't it, guys? And that's why we gather at church and we learn.
That's right. That's right. You know, you touched on something that I think is really helpful. It's just jumping off the page is the phrase, do the next right thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we try to do in our teaching at Beacon as well as on the radio show here is give applicable things that people could actually hang their hat on.
Amen.
To do.
Yes.
How do I change that, or what do I do? You know, some of the things are hard because it's like, well, you have to start thinking about it different, or you just have to grow your faith, and things can be intangible. But I think this is so insightful and so applicable.
Amen.
To just do the next right thing.
Explain that phrase, though, to
people. Well, how many times have we found ourselves kind of under a couple of rocks? You know, you've told a couple of things to a couple of people, and you feel like things are starting to fold in a little bit, and you're going to get caught up in it, and what's going to happen next? And it's real hard for us to be encouraged to go back and tell the truth after we've already lied, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, that might be your next right thing. That might be it. Or it might be starting fresh from this point forward and telling the truth.
Yes.
Beyond this point. I'm not sure what it would be for different people. I don't know what it is for me at this moment for the next thing that I get myself entangled in or not. But doing the next right thing, because we're always going to get our foot caught in snares here and there. It's going to happen to us. We're human. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to open our mouths before we thought. We're going to open our mouths and say something before we thought, okay, how can I really live for Jesus today? And something's going to slip out that we meant for it to be a little different, and it just, that made us look a little better in that situation than it should have. But, you know, we can always take the very next step that we do in life and do it the right way.
Right.
We can hear that voice inside that says, ooh, that was stepping on the line of not the right thing to say there. That was stepping on fibbing.
Right.
We're getting over into that area. But do the next right thing is simply just that. The next opportunity that you open your mouth or you have something to do or
Amen.
Someone, you say the truth.
Right.
You know, in compassionate love.
Right.
Use that model of Jesus, of course. It doesn't mean slam people or rip them to the shred or be overly truthful. Don't think that we're giving permission today to be overly truthful and, you know, get on your soapbox and beat up on people that you've just been looking for that opportunity. Well, hoo-hoo, they told me on the radio today I just have to go tell the truth, so I'm just going to tell people how it is.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about. You have to keep and model that model of Jesus, and you need to use that compassion and that love. But you do take the next step of righteousness. You
Amen.
Do. You try to be righteous. You know, you try to live up to God's example in the very next thing that you do.
Let me ask you a question, and I agree with all of that you just said, Cricket. Madeline, if you're in a situation out there in radio land, and you are, maybe you're in a relationship, or maybe you're in a friendship, or a work person, and their lack of integrity causes you to always be concerned about whether or not they're telling you the truth today. You know, I mean, it's like, even as hard as you try to always trust them and believe them and give them the benefit of the doubt, you realize, wait a minute, this person always ends up coming out, you know, and messing up and not being what they say or not telling the truth. Should a person hang out with a person like that?
Yeah, that's difficult because you run into those people everywhere. Like you said, at work, where you
everywhere.
Have to be, at church, in all, whatever, wherever it is that you go, you're going to come across people like that. And I've struggled with that. And my first response to you maybe a couple months back would have been, no, I run in the other direction. I put up my invisible shield. I do everything I can so that, you know, they're deflected from me.
I've seen your invisible shield. Deflect, deflect. Yes. Wonder Woman bracelets activate.
Yes, that's right. So that would have been my first answer. And then, you know, over the past couple of months, I've been, you know, trying to say, well, that doesn't feel right. That just feels like I'm avoiding every situation that's tough, or I'm avoiding people. I'm not loving the difficult people. I'm not, you know, I didn't feel right about it. So I've tried to now take a different tack with people that are like that. And I may not get as involved as I would get with some other people.
Keep
they may
distance.
Not be my closest friends.
Right.
But I try to.
How could they be, by the way, your closest friend?
Because,
if
without
there's
the
no
trust
integrity
and consistency.
Trust. Right.
So I try to listen.
Okay.
To a point, because I feel like sometimes you have to cut people off if you feel like all you're getting is misinformation and lies.
Right.
So I might listen. I might also try to be an example for them so that, you know, if they're telling me information that maybe they're talking about people in a derogatory way, I'm not going to participate in that. And I might try to turn a positive, you know, phrase about the person. And I've been trying different things. So, you know, getting a little bit closer to these people, a safe distance from me so that I don't feel like I'm all caught up in that. But yet just try to, you know, with God's love, just be an example to not get caught up in what they're putting out. And then to also put forth a positive, loving front for them to see. So not to participate and give them more fuel for the fire.
Give them an example. Mm-hmm. What about guarding your own heart? Mm-hmm. What if you're involved with somebody and the lies are always there, the deception is always there, the manipulating the circumstances or whatever is always there. What responsibility do we have to guard our own hearts when it comes to this issue of integrity?
Well, gee whiz,
y'all understand the question?
I didn't know it was going to be a hard question day at radio show land. By the way, every time you say radio show land, I like picture little Larry King punching bags and Dennis Miller's running the shooting gallery. It's like a big carnival with all the radio people and Ferris wheels and stuff. Anyway, I digress.
You see how Cricket's mind works?
A little window into Cricket's mind.
Yes, little Care Bears are dancing.
Scary.
Yes, it's R-rated. Frightening.
R-rated. Yikes.
Okay,
back to your very tough question. Wow, that's
guarding your own heart.
Yeah. You know, you have to have a healthy boundaries.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's even biblical.
Right.
You have healthy boundaries with
yes.
people. And sometimes you have to step out and do hard things, like have a conversation with someone mm-hmm. when it's just, I mean, if someone that's close enough to you for whatever reason, I don't know if it's a relationship like a love relationship, or if it's a family member. Family members are really tough because it's not like you can't be family anymore.
Right.
You can't not have your sister anymore if you're having an issue with a sister or a brother or a parent for that matter. And I think when we realize, you know, our moral barometer is dinging that something's wrong, because awareness is a big part of it, you have to make that decision. Okay, I might have a frank, loving conversation with this person. And I think a lot of times it's kind of like, have you ever watched any of those intervention shows?
Yes.
I don't think these conversations probably go very well at the beginning. But basically what you're doing, I think, in those conversations is laying on a foundation of, look, this is my healthy boundary and I'm not going to allow you to cross it anymore. In a gentle way, you're kind of calling them out. You're saying, I see what you're doing.
Right.
I see that this is deceit that's coming from you. And I can't make you not do that anymore. I can't say stop it, but I can say I'm not going to have a part of that anymore, and I just want you to know that. And you have that's got to be one of the hardest things to have that type of conversation.
But isn't it the right thing to do?
It is.
As
but
far
it's really
as
hard
your
to handle
integrity. I mean,
yes.
Especially if this person's affecting you on a daily basis or affecting you
to have integrity.
Yeah.
You have to demand integrity to a certain degree to enter into
That's
your
an
bubble.
Interesting concept.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're allowing too many things to penetrate into you, it's going to wear yourself down.
What does it do? What does it do, Madeline?
What do you mean?
You're around this lack of integrity a lot. How does it affect you? How does it affect
you? Well, I think, you know, I always use the example because for me, it means the most. You know, 10 years ago, I had to stop smoking.
Okay.
You know, it took me a long time, but when I finally was successful, it was because I had to eliminate people and surroundings where I was comfortable smoking.
Okay. Temptation.
Yeah, I really had to. I mean, not only just, you know, certain locations, but people that I didn't dislike the person anymore, but they were people I smoked with.
Right.
Or, you know, any bad behavior, just like addicts of anything, if you're around certain people and surroundings, you tend to engage in that behavior.
And don't you also,
and it seems like the same,
yeah.
Right, because if I'm going to sit there and listen to Cricket go on and on about something, I know she's not telling the truth, and I know she's being deceitful. I know, it's very difficult.
She doesn't do that, but anyway.
I'm fostering her behavior.
Right.
I'm accepting it.
You're accepting it as okay.
Maybe somewhere in, right, and somewhere I got to be telling myself that I guess this is okay. I guess this isn't a big deal. She's my friend. So, you know, it's okay. I'm going to allow this. And then somewhere in me, it's going to be okay to go on to the next person and say, well, you know, I really trust and love Cricket, you know, so if she's doing this, I guess it's okay maybe to just, mm-hmm. you know, maybe it's okay to fudge around when it's not as easy to tell the truth.
Right.
And I do think that who you surround yourself with, you just tend to.
Environment's powerful.
Yeah, very powerful.
Very powerful.
Very powerful.
Absolutely. So guarding your heart, I think, is a part of the integrity walk. Mm-hmm. You have to guard your heart so things cannot enter in and,
right.
and cause you to step off the path.
Why? I mean, why is that so important to guard our own heart?
Well, just
and
like,
do we really have that responsibility?
I think we really do have that responsibility.
We do.
And I think a lot of us shrug it off because it's hard
yes.
to have those confrontational things if we have to.
Right.
You know, sometimes when they're not real close relationships, you can just kind of keep your hands distance and only engage in kind of difficult conversation if it really kind of gets in your face. Because it's not like we can walk around telling people everything they're doing wrong and how they need to live. I mean, we're not to judge. You know, we're supposed to deal with the log in our eyes before we deal with the splinter in our neighbors.
Exactly.
And but when you have close relationships, because it does happen, everyone has somebody or a few people that have that come into our lives that can start kind of infecting our own personal environment, which changes how we act.
I think one of the big things it does is it takes your peace away.
Absolutely.
It takes your peace away,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because when you're in a situation with somebody and you know they're lying to you, you know they're just saying what they want to say or they're trying to manipulate you by their lies
mm-hmm.
and get you to do a certain thing or think a certain way, whatever, it causes turmoil on the inside when you know, wait a minute, this isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't true.
And I think about the times where I'm around people that do have high integrity.
Yeah.
And how they just, they give you peace, don't they? I mean, it feels good to be around people that you can really trust.
Exactly.
And even if they say something to me that maybe I don't like, I know their integrity's high with me.
Right.
So I can take it a little bit from them if they're critiquing something or even if they're saying something that maybe I just generally don't agree with. You know what I mean? It's just, it doesn't matter. Confrontation is not the same. And just spending time with them in life, it's like it feeds you healthy
right.
things into your own soul, into your own spirit.
Yes.
And it's just, it's like a breath of fresh
breath
air
of fresh
when
air.
You can be in those environments with those people and those friends that you
right.
have that are healthy and good integrity people that you
right.
can trust and you can let your guard down and you can allow their environment to healthily affect yours. And it can foster good growth of more integrity in yourself and probably bouncing off them too, the same, it growing more healthy integrity on their side. And it's a great little bubble to live in when
and
you can
you
get those.
And what you just described is mm-hmm. relaxing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
When I can sit and relax with people of integrity, okay,
mm-hmm.
and I know that if I say something I shouldn't have said, they're not going to make this huge bill and go tell five friends. You would not believe what Pastor said. You know, I mean, because occasionally that does happen. Occasionally, little
she says
things,
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, little things slip out of my mind mouth that I should not have said. You know, we all do that.
Yeah.
But I mean, when I am sitting with people that I trust, I know that I can immediately say, "Ooh, I shouldn't have said that," and please don't go. Tell 10 of your best friends.
Right. You know, you can feel safe around
yes.
people.
There you go.
That
safe.
When you're like-minded
safe
and when
peace.
You're going down the same
yes.
path. And a lot of times you're with people who you were there. And then all of a sudden you start to take different paths and you find yourself someone who was a close friend now is kind of, you know, starting to branch out into that acquaintance category because you're not of the same mindset anymore.
There
and
you
need to distance yourself from that if
True.
They're not following, you know, I guess like a godly path, you know, a righteous path and a path that's full of integrity. Because again, you're not going to feel comfortable in that situation anymore
right.
because you're not looking
well,
toward the same
Well, let's look at our examples.
Things.
Jesus, it says in John 1:14 again, full of grace and truth is what he was, okay? Mm-hmm. Full of grace, and that's favor. You know, he just loves us just the way we are. And truth, Jesus called it like he saw it, guys.
Yes.
He's our example. Now, that doesn't mean he was rude and mean, but he really said, this is the way it is, you know?
Right.
And he did not try to set out and hurt people, but mm-hmm. he also did not hesitate to say, wait a minute, you're lying here, you know? And so I think that's kind of what we're talking about here today. It's that sense of integrity. It's very important, isn't it?
It is. It's very important.
It wouldn't be easy to do that. You know, I think about, like you just said, what Jesus said, he would call it out. That'd be rough
be
to do. You know, if you knew someone was sitting there blatantly telling you something untrue, mm-hmm. to just call it out.
Not easy.
No. Mm-hmm. Especially the way Jesus would do it, because he had such a way of doing it with still love and compassion.
Right. That's it, isn't
it? You know, he just had a way of... He called it out, but he wasn't degrading.
Right.
And it's just so hard to balance all those things. But, you know, I'm so thankful that we have the Word of God to review his ways.
Exactly.
So we can really train ourselves.
Integrity
in
we're talking about is truth. I really think it has a lot to do with truth.
Sure does.
In the inner man, mm-hmm. on the inside. Do you want to be surrounding yourselves with people that are full of that truth and are trying on a daily basis to become more like Jesus? I believe that we do. I really do. We're going to come back and talk more about this in just a minute. Let's listen to this song, then don't go away. We're not quite done.
You dance over me while I am You sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. You love me. You paint the morning sky with miracles in mind. My hope. Lord, I'm amazed by you. by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me.
Lord, you love me.
I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed every day. So amazed
how you love me, Lord.
Amen. God, we are so amazed how much you love us. You know, it all begins, this walk of integrity, it begins with a relationship with Jesus. I'm not saying there aren't a lot of people out there in the world that have integrity, that don't know God. There are, I'm sure. But for our purposes today, we really believe that Jesus Christ brings that sense of integrity and that need to have that. And it starts with a personal relationship with God, doesn't it, Cricket?
Sure does. Yes. In fact, let's do that prayer right now for anybody out there that has not accepted Jesus as their Savior, that has not taken that step and started that journey of being a Christ follower. Let's just nail that down right now. And I'm going to say a few words, and I'm going to have Pastor and Madeline repeat them after me. And you out there, just repeat them and speak these right to Jesus right now. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, you are the Son of God.
Jesus, you are the Son of God.
And I believe that you died on a cross.
And I believe that you died on a cross.
For my sin.
For my sin.
And you rose again and live today.
And you rose again and live today.
I confess and ask.
I confess and ask.
For forgiveness for anything.
For forgiveness for anything.
And everything.
And everything.
I've ever done.
I've ever done.
Not pleasing to you.
Not pleasing to you.
I receive your gift of salvation.
I receive your gift of salvation.
You are now my Savior right now.
You are now my Savior right now.
Amen. It's just that simple.
How can it be that simple, Cricket?
Because we have a wonderful, merciful God, gracious-filled God, who makes this simple for us. Because he looks down and we are his children, and he wants to make himself available to us. He wants a personal relationship with us.
Amen.
He loves us so much that he wants to be right here present with us, but we have choice.
Yes.
We have to choose to feel him and see him and operate life with him by our side. We have to choose to pick up that cross and carry it with him. We have to choose to put our shoulder to the plow with Jesus.
Amen.
And live that life. But he wants to make it simple. That's why the words of this prayer can be so simple.
And it's so easy to make that decision, isn't it?
It is. It's freeing.
It is. Madeline, talk to me about this subject that we've been discussing today.
Well, we were talking about before we got here today, we thought it was going to be kind of a tough one.
Yes,
you know, not just easy banter.
I mean,
it's really thoughtful. You know, it was something that we kind of, you know, were talking about on our way here. And I think as we dug deeper, we really got a good understanding of how we are and how people are around us. And, you know, for us here, people going to Beacon of Hope and, you know, believing in God and God's word, we really feel like being full of integrity is following God's word.
Amen.
You know, being every day truthful.
Yes.
For me, consistent.
Right.
Trustworthy, thinking about others in our daily lives, you know, making sure what we say is what you mentioned earlier, potentially healing to others and certainly not harmful.
Amen.
And
you're summing
something
all those
to be
up.
Sought after, you know, something to be thought about and chosen every day purposefully.
Can you go back over those a minute for those who have a paper at home?
Sure.
Can you remember those?
I think so.
Because I love it when it comes like this in the show,
that was
don't
good.
You? And
that
the
was
way
good,
it,
Madeline.
Madeline, that was excellent. Where we go back over
pressures.
Pressure time. Where we go back over the things we've really been discussing in this 90 minutes, which is a long time, and we appreciate our listening audience that hangs with us for that amount of time. It goes very quickly for us. It may not go as quickly for you, but I said all that nonsense here so that Madeline has time to go back over her thoughts here. Here we go. Ready?
It was truthful.
And
consistent was one of the things that I thought was important.
Yes.
Trustworthy.
Right.
open and caring about other people's feelings.
Amen.
Thoughtful about the words you say so that hopefully they can be healing and loving and not harmful in any way.
Exactly.
I'm sure. I mean, there's lots of components. I bet, you know, for everybody.
We could do a show on every component, you know.
Right. You think about a couple of things that are personal for you that go into being full of integrity.
And life, we want the best here on this earth. We want every day to be so important. And as my dad was laying in the nursing home these last 3 weeks and then the hospital before that, dying from leukemia, there were so many people that came in, you know, aides and nurses and so forth. And it was so interesting because they would invariably ask my sisters or me, tell us about your dad. And it was wonderful to be able to stand there and say, my dad was one of the most loving persons you would ever meet. He never knew a stranger. He loved people. He accepted them right the way they were. When he told you something, he told you the truth. He wasn't trying to, you know, sugarcoat it or tell you something. And it was so cool in these last few weeks to reflect on the legacy that my dad has left, not only my sisters and I, but our 10 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. That's a lot. But this is the kind of person he was. And I want to be that kind of a person too.
Yes, yes. I agree with that. I agree. You know, this conversation that we've had today has been really good for me. I don't know about you guys. And if there are people out there not like this, well, you are really blessed. But I am always tempted to step off this road. It really is something of truth-telling and being on top of that and not being tempted to try to sugarcoat and slide off. It's constantly a temptation. I mean, even someone saying, how are you today? Your answer back could be total lacking of integrity. If you're having turmoil, and I'm not saying share and confess all of your hardships to strangers in 7-Eleven, but, you know, I mean, it just shows the small, minute things. If we're like, oh, I'm great, and you're not, why'd you just say that? You say, I'm doing all right, or I'm hanging in there. Or, you know, it's from the small to the big. It's just a constant temptation.
Right.
And today, I need that flashlight shown on me to remind me of things, and it's been very helpful. It's brought things to the surface.
Praise God.
That I need to think about on a daily basis. I try to think about them on a daily basis and circumstances, and it stirred a lot of that stuff up.
Amen.
In a healthy way for me today. I've got a
Amen.
Lot.
And it all starts with the Word of God, guys. I am such a teacher of the Word of God, and I absolutely believe that church isn't worth having if we aren't really preaching the practical, everyday Christian life and how to live it to the best of our ability. So we welcome you to come to Beacon of Hope and find out more about living that good life on a daily basis. We named this show that on purpose, Living the Good Life, because we believe as you learn the principles found in God's Word, you're going to be living a better life than you've ever lived before.
Right.
And it's all around your relationship with God. One final thought, Madeline?
I would like to pose that at least us here in the room and maybe people in the listening audience, just think about this week.
Yes.
And think about when you go to open your mouth, what you're going to say before you say it. Just
there
be
you
a
go.
Little bit more thoughtful. I want to do that too. Extra more this week.
I agree.
Great.
Extra more today. I agree with that. And you know, do exactly what Madeline said, and I'm excited to think about how my week goes and what kind of fruit I see grow from it.
Let's do that.
And what I mean by that is, you know, what positive things came out of telling the truth. Because like I said earlier, things can go, you might have to deal with some turmoil, but I do believe that God blesses us when we do the right thing.
Amen. It's been great living the good life. Beacon of Hope Ministries, Pastor Marcia McAllister. We're so glad you joined us today. Tune in again next Sunday at 4:30. God bless you. Have a great week. Come to Beacon.
Thank you for joining us on Living the Good Life, the broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries that welcomes all people, origins, backgrounds, lifestyles, and circumstances. This is Conversation Radio, all about real life, real truth, and real purpose. Join us again next Sunday evening from 4:30 to 6 as we continue our discussion of more hope for your future. Connect with us at beaconofhopeministries.com, getting you on the road to living the good life.